I invite you to turn with me to our text this Lord's Day, as it's found in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. On a clear sunny day, when the sun is beating down, it's scorching hot, you're working outside, you're perspiring, your energy is being sapped as you continue to work. What is it that you long for? As much as water, it's probably a shade, some place to be able to find a shadow of a building, shadow of a tree, shadow of some structure, to be able to remove yourself from that scorching hot sun. In fact, people have found themselves lost and wandering in desolate places, have often been saved from the heat because they were able to find that kind of shelter, a shadow of some kind from the scorching heat. And you know, dear ones, what is true physically is also true spiritually. The children of Adam are living under the scorching heat of God's holy wrath and curse due to their sin and their rebellion against the most just and good God. They, in their heart of hearts, know this to be true, even if they will not acknowledge it to be true, because God has made it clear to them by way of the light of nature that's impressed upon their conscience, which they try and try and try to escape, but ultimately cannot escape. Dear ones, there is only one shadow that will permanently save you. That is the shadow of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 25:4, we hear of this shadow. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. You who have been rescued and delivered from the everlasting wrath and condemnation of an absolutely holy God, certainly know of all the places that you have tried in your life to find that shelter and that refuge from the heat. You've tried many things. You've involved yourselves in many different exercises and places and things and people. But there is no shelter, dear ones, from the heat of God's holy wrath, except under the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can forever hide you from the guilt and the punishment which your sins deserve. Let us consider today how the chosen bride of Jesus Christ rests under the shadow of Jesus Christ from the condemning wrath of a holy and a good God, from all and from all of the trials and from all the afflictions of this life as well. The main points from our text today are, number one, the delight of Christ's shadow. And the second main point, the sweetness of Christ's fruit. The delight of Christ's shadow, first of all, then. In verses 1 and 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2, Jesus has just commended himself to his chosen bride, you recall, as the rose of Sharon and as the lily of the valleys. He exalts himself, for there is none like him. There is none to which we can compare the Lord Jesus Christ. He's fully God. He's fully man. And the only mediator between God and man, sent with everlasting love to redeem and purchase and irresistibly draw his chosen bride that was gone a-whoring into all manner of with all manner of lovers to redeem and purchase her and draw her unto himself with the unbreakable bonds of divine love. Jesus then likens his beloved bride to a lily among thorns, you again recall. And he distinguishes his love for her as his lily among thorns. He distinguishes her from the thorns. He distinguishes her by way of his love for her from the daughters of the world. Outside of that infinite love, dear ones, that the members of the Godhead have for one another, there is no love like the love that God has for you, whom he has chosen in Christ Jesus and brought to faith in Christ Jesus. None. Outside of the Godhead itself, there is no love like the love he has for you, his chosen bride. You, his beloved bride, are his lilies. The world, the flesh, and the devil are thorns. His special love for you is what makes the difference between a lily and a thorn. That special love that he has set upon you is the only difference. You would be, and you were, a thorn. It was his love that made you a lily among the thorns. It's just like Jesus, before he was betrayed, before he was crucified there in the garden, or there with his disciples. He says, in praying to the Lord, he says, I pray for them. Praying to his Father, he says, I pray for them. That is, for his elect, for his chosen ones. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. What makes the difference between those for whom Jesus prays? It's the love. It's the love of Jesus that is placed upon his people, that has called them, that has redeemed them, that has continued to love them in sanctification and all the way into glorification. It's his love that makes the difference. Now as we come to our text in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 3, Christ's chosen bride now speaks. The Lord Jesus was speaking in verses 1 and 2. Now the bride speaks and extols her beloved Jesus, praises her beloved Jesus, who alone is the tree of life that gives shade from the heat of God's condemning wrath, and from the heat of attacks, from the thorns, from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and who feeds her with the everlasting fruit that gives spiritual life and health now and for all eternity. to you, his chosen bride, Jesus, in verse 3, is as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. The bride of Christ here praises her beloved Savior and prefers him above all other trees, to use the same figurative language. Prefers him, treasures him above all other trees in the forest or all other sons in all of creation. No creature, whether angelic, whether human, no other handiwork in God's creation surpasses the Lord Jesus Christ as to his beauty and his glory, his grace, his power, his mercy, his love, his wisdom. That's why we read in Psalm 45, verse 2, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." Thou art fairer than the children of men. None can possibly measure up to the beauty, the grace, and the truth of Jesus Christ. No creature, or even the combination of all creation, if you were to have a scale and you were to put the beauty and put Jesus Christ on one side of the scale, and you were to put the beauty of all of creation on the other side, Jesus would far outweigh all of creation by way of his beauty, by way of his glory and majesty over all that he has created. He is Lord of all, and he is exalted above all. In Psalm 89, verse 6, the question is asked, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" None. Absolutely none. He alone, dear ones, is all sufficient for whatever the thorny problem or trial that you face in your life. He, dear ones, is the apple tree that alone provides the shade and food that satisfies now and for all eternity. There is no salvation to a sinner who simply sees Jesus as one tree among many trees, one prophet among many prophets, one good man among many good men, one moral teacher among many moral teachers. You see, dear ones, those who do not see Jesus as the one and as the only Son of the living God, who alone died in order to deliver a sinner from the scorching heat of hell, are not saved. They cannot be saved. If Jesus is just like everyone else, they cannot be saved. If he is simply one way among many that people can get to heaven, there's no salvation in that. People can simply pick and choose the road, the broad road that they want to take, rather than walking the narrow path, the narrow road that Jesus alone has given to us. And that is why Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only door into heaven. There is no other door. There is no other way. There is no other truth. And those who began to mix Christianity with any other religion by way of syncretism and bringing them together, whether it be New Age, whether it be some other form of false religion that professes some form of Christianity, again, there is no other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ and his truth. You see, it's not even your sincerity. It's not your good intentions that save you. In Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many people think that I'm sincere. Jesus is going to, or God's going to allow me into heaven because I'm simply sincere. I think this is the right way. It's the right way for me. May not be the right way for everybody, but it's the right way for me. And that attitude pervades the world today. It is not their sincerity that will save them. It is only Jesus that can save. The redeemed bride of Jesus Christ, dear one, sees and receives Jesus as alone the apple tree that shades one from the wrath of God, and alone feeds one the food that gives and sustains life forever. If you profess this with your lips, but you do not practice it in your life, I urge you, humble yourself under his almighty and gracious hand. Repent of your hypocrisy. You see, many will profess Jesus, but deny him by their works. According to Titus 1:16, many will say on that last day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these works in thy name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They denied him by their works. There was the shadow of Jesus, according to verse 3, is a delight. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. As was stated earlier, where there is no shadow for shade in oppressive heat, there will eventually be death. And likewise, to find no shade from the scorching heat of hell will bring eternal death. It is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that became a tree of life to all who will trust him alone as Savior and as Lord. Upon that tree of life, the cross, Jesus bore all of the sins of his chosen bride and all of God's holy wrath against her. You remember in the Old Testament how the Lord at one point told the various people who were vying for leadership within Israel to bring their staffs, their rods. And they brought their rods, and God was going to show them which rod of all those placed there indicated who were his leaders. And Aaron's rod was one of those leaders, or one of those rods. And you remember how from that dry rod came forth fruit and blossoms, almonds, from that dry rod, showing that Moses and Aaron were indeed the appointed leaders of Israel. And so, dear ones, I say to you today, God made the cursed cross of Jesus. A cross that was dead. A cross that had no life. He made the cross of Jesus a tree of life to remove the scorching heat of hell and to bring forth life to everyone who will look in faith to the Son of God as Savior and as Lord. Only in the shadow of that cross of Jesus Christ is there salvation. Only in that shadow. Dear ones, there are many people and things in the world which will promise you shade, will promise you satisfaction and pleasure and comfort from sorrow, from heartache, from afflictions, but they all fall short. in resolving the very most basic and fundamental need of man: escape from the holy judgment of God. Sin and rebellion against God are the root problems that lead to every other misery, that lead to death, that lead to every other misery that faces man in this world. Sin and rebellion against God. From Adam to the present, the hatred, the pride, false religion, murder of unborn children, greed, anger, racism, sexual immorality, they are all due to rebellion against the living God. Rebellion against Jesus Christ and his commandments. Rebellion against his gospel. No man, woman, or child will seek out Jesus Christ as the only one who can be a shadow to them from the condemning wrath of God. No one's going to, on their own, voluntarily do so. They will rather, on their own, look to many trees in the forest to heal their guilty conscience, or at least to help them to forget that they have a guilty conscience for a time. And ultimately, they will turn to that which pleases them amongst those trees in the forest, whether it be sex, power, addictions, drugs, alcohol, food, clothing, fashions, whatever, possessions, addictions. They'll turn to money, they'll turn to success, they'll turn to false religions, to sports, to music, or to people. Many, many trees that people will run to find shade. But inevitably, they will fail to find a shadow that will protect them, that will protect and remove their guilty conscience before God. Only Jesus can do that. And only he can bring you into and under his shadow. Only he can give you the desire, the faith, the willingness to do so. Only Jesus can do that. I ask you today, where are you looking for your shade from the heat of problems today in your marriage, in your family? Where are you looking for shade from the heat of problems with your children, with work, problems at work, and with the temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil? Where are you fleeing? Where is your shadow that you're fleeing to from the heat? Where will you find shade when you or your loved ones walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Dear ones, where will you run to find shade in all of the problems that you face in life? Where you run will tell much about the one or the ones or the things in which you are trusting. Because when you're running from the heat, who you're trusting in is the shade to which you run. Where are you running? You're running to Jesus? Or again, are you running to sex and addictions or to your bank account? Are you running to the approval of man? You're running to the government to be your savior? You're running to work to supply all your needs? You're running to pleasures? Are you running to family or friends? Who is your shadow from the heat of afflictions, trials, loneliness, persecution, and temptation? A chief characteristic, mark it down, A chief characteristic of the chosen bride of Christ is that she finds true, lasting shade, help, comfort, grace, love, mercy, patience, and strength to persevere under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 57:1, the psalmist declares, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 91:1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Are you dwelling in the secret place, in that place of communion? Well, then you will be indeed abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Note carefully, dear ones, that the bride of Christ here does not simply look at the shadow of Christ from outside the shadow and say, "Oh, look, there is shade for me. There is shade. There is rest there. There is shelter. There is refuge from the heat, the scorching heat. There it is." No, but she, the chosen bride of Christ, says she sat down. She sat down under his shadow with great delight. Dear ones, it is not enough to know there is shade from God's wrath under the shadow of Jesus Christ. Your mere knowledge isn't going to save you. It is not enough to profess with your mouth that under the shadow of Christ one will find mercy, one will find forgiveness, one will find repentance, one will find help and comfort and strength and love. It's not enough simply to profess that with your mouth. Your mere knowledge, dear ones, of the truth must be mixed with faith in Christ's promise. You must come and by faith sit down under the shadow of Jesus Christ. You cannot have one foot in the shadow, under the shadow of Christ, and the other foot outside the shadow of Christ. You can't walk that way. You can't stand that way. You're either in or you're out. You cannot act as though you are under the shadow of Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day and act as though you are under the shadow of all the other trees of the forest the other 6 days of the week. You must come and sit under his shadow, trusting him to save you, to provide for you, to preserve you, to sanctify you, and to bring you into and unto that everlasting shadow of Jesus Christ forever in heaven. You see, that is what it means to sit under his shadow with great delight. That delight does not mean that you will be removed from every trial and affliction, persecution and temptation if you come and sit under his shadow. But it does mean that you have been removed from the evil of those afflictions and trials and persecutions. God is not in all that you now experience. If you are sitting under his shadow, God is not angry with you. God is not pouring out his wrath upon you because of what you now are suffering if you are sitting under his shadow. The world would tell you, there's no delight. There's no joy in sitting under the shadow of Jesus Christ. How boring sitting under the shadow of Jesus Christ. That's what the world would tell you. The world, the flesh, and the devil, dear ones, are liars. Liars from the pit of hell. when they say there is no delight in sitting under the shadow of Jesus Christ. If there is no delight in sitting under the shadow of Jesus Christ, there is no delight in being in heaven. Because sitting under the shadow of Jesus Christ now is a foretaste. Sitting under the shadow of Christ for all eternity. The shadow of Jesus Christ, dear ones, is not like that shadow of Jonah, wherein God caused the gourd to grow and to provide temporary shade for Jonah from the scorching heat. You remember a worm came and during the night and ate the gourd so that it dried up. The shadow of Jesus Christ is not temporary. It will not be dried up. It is a shadow into which you are safe at all times from the evil of afflictions and trials and persecution. The Lord now is taking that which Satan intends for your destruction and is using all those things for your good to build you up, to strengthen you, to help you grow in Christ Jesus. There is no shadow of changing with Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His shadow does not change. You do not have to go looking for it. It's not here one time and there another time. It's always in the same place. Jesus is always there. The question is, are you running to a shadow? Are you, dear ones, under the heat today, as you hear the word of God preached to you, are you under the heat of a guilty conscience? Are you under the heat of some besetting sin? Are you under the heat of some fear or of some worry that is plaguing you? Well, I can tell you that you will find shade. I can assure you, I can promise you, you will find shade. If you flee to the shadow of Jesus Christ, where you will find true comfort in his promises and in his mercy, he alone is an enduring, lasting, unchanging shadow. The second main point, the sweetness of Christ's fruit. In verse 3, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. There was not only is there shade from God's wrath and from the destructive power of the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil under the shadow of Jesus Christ, but there is also under that shadow of Jesus Christ, the fruit of fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. Beloved, if you must first come and sit by faith under the shadow of Jesus, it is then and only then that you will be able to eat of the sweetness of his fruit. One cannot eat of the sweetness of the fruit of Jesus Christ if one is not under the shadow of Jesus Christ. One has to come by faith and dwell and live under the shadow. Then he or she is able to pick the sweet fruit of communion and love Jesus Christ offers unto us, his people. Though union with Jesus Christ by faith is your entrance to his shadow from wrath and condemnation, that is not the end of your salvation. That is simply the beginning that guarantees all that follows. Your union with Jesus Christ and coming under the shadow of Jesus Christ. The end of your salvation is to commune with Jesus Christ. To enjoy Him. To find the time spent with Him to be that which is most pleasing and satisfying. So that you can become like Him. So that you can grow in your love for Him, delight in Him, bear His fruit. Understand again, dear ones, you have not simply been saved from hell. Your salvation is not simply an insurance policy against hell. Your salvation, you have been saved, dear ones, to enjoy Jesus Christ and for Him to enjoy you, to bear His fruit forever and ever. If Jesus, His fruit, His graces, and His ordinances, I dare say to you, if His fruit and His communion is not sweet to your taste, to your spiritual taste, then something is very, very wrong. If you don't care about whether or not His fruit is desirable and is a delight and is sweet to your taste, if you don't even care about it, something far worse is desperately wrong. The Christian, dear ones, is called not only to be under the shadow of Christ, but to enjoy His fruit. To enjoy Jesus Christ through His ordinances, through the Word of God, through the sacraments, and through prayer. To find His shadow a delight and His fruit sweet to the taste. And just as one must by faith sit under the shadow of the Almighty, so one must by faith take and eat of the fruit of the Almighty. You can't simply sit under the shadow and say, saved from the wrath, the scorching wrath of God. No. If you're under the shadow of the Almighty, you're going to be picking the fruit from that tree of life daily, enjoying that fruit of life. That, in fact, becomes an evidence that you are sitting under the shadow of the Almighty, that you are picking the fruit every day of Jesus Christ through His Word, through prayer, through the sacraments, through His ordinances, through communion with Him and His communion with you. I dare say that the grace and the power to overcome sin and temptation in your life and mine begins by sitting under Christ's shadow. It begins there, but it continues and it is strengthened. The grace to war, to fight, to overcome those temptations in our life is strengthened by eating of the fruit. Eating of the fruit, His Word, His sacraments, and prayer. As I close today, I want to apply what I've just said to the sacraments in a couple weeks. We will be celebrating the sacrament of Lord's Supper in Grand Rapids, and I want in this sermon and in the next sermon to begin some degree of preparation for that time around the table together. Sitting by faith under the shadow of Christ, dear ones, is to find everlasting shade from the heat of the condemning wrath of God. This is accomplished through your union with Jesus Christ by faith at the time of your conversion. That sitting by faith under the shadow of Christ is signified and sealed in the sacrament of baptism, which points to your union with Christ, your washing and cleansing of sin. It signifies and seals those blessings and those promises. Baptism, dear ones, points to the promise of God's cleansing from sin and the removal of God's condemning wrath in Jesus Christ. Baptism is not repeated. There is one baptism, just as union with Jesus Christ is not repeated. Eating the fruit from the tree of life while sitting under the shadow of Christ, dear ones, is to enjoy communion with the Lord Jesus. This eating of the fruit is signified and sealed in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Just as you eat not once the fruit under the shadow of Christ, but have found it sweet to the taste and nourishing to the soul, so you sit at the Lord's table, eating of the bread, which signifies the body of Christ broken for you, his beloved bride. And you drink of the wine, which signifies the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you, his beloved bride. Though the actual sacrifice of Jesus Christ for his elect bride happened only once, the benefits of that one-time offering continue now and forever as you commune with him, especially as you commune with him at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, unlike baptism, is repeated for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, Jesus said. Just as communion with Jesus Christ is that which is ongoing in the life of the Christian. As you prepare for the Lord's Supper, examine yourself as to whether you are sitting by faith under the shadow of Jesus Christ from the heat of God's condemning wrath. Are you fleeing to the shadow of other trees to find the shade of help and comfort, pleasure from a guilty conscience, and from the heat of temptations, from the world, the flesh, and the devil? Or are you fleeing to Jesus Christ alone to find that shade, that shelter? As you prepare for the Lord's Supper, examine yourself as to whether you are eating by faith daily and enjoying his loving communion daily. Someone who comes to the Lord's Supper, which we call communion, but does not really understand or know what communion throughout the day and the week really are, is making a mockery. It's simply coming to a table. It's not a sign and seal of that which is actually going on in the person's life. They're lying. They're fabricating a story. They're simply doing it for show. And so when we come to the table, dear ones, and we partake of those elements, we ought to be also saying, this is simply the sacrament which points to my daily communion with Jesus Christ, which I have through his death and his resurrection. Dear ones, be not like those who sit under the preaching of Christ's shadow, but eat not the fruit that falls from the tree of life. Visibly, you're sitting today under the shadow of Jesus Christ in the preaching of God's word. But are you taking the fruit? Are you eating the fruit of Jesus Christ, applying the fruit to your life? From our text today, What is the evidence that you are by faith sitting under the shadow of Jesus from the condemning wrath of God? It is your eating of Christ's fruit in communion with him. Not once. Not saying, oh, I have had communion. I remember, you know, last year I had communion with Christ. It was so precious and so sweet. But now, where is that communion with Christ? It is no more. The psalmist says in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Your fruitfulness in the Christian life comes from your eating the fruit of Jesus Christ while being under the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your fruitfulness comes from your communing with Jesus Christ. Your life comes from your living and abiding with Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that this is the reason why so many who profess Christ fall away from Jesus Christ. They have a profession, but where is the communion? They profess to be under the shadow, but where are they eating the fruit regularly and daily? Everyone said, if we're not eating the fruit, it's an indication that we're not truly under the shadow of Christ, our Savior. They're not by faith sitting in the shadow and are not daily tasting the sweet fruit of communion with Jesus Christ. Never forget, dear ones, no communion with Jesus Christ, no life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Just stand with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this day, lifting up our blessed Savior, the Tree of Life. We praise Thee, our Lord, that Thou hast called us to abide under His shadow. Thou hast given us the grace, the faith, the willingness, the desire to be under the shadow of Christ and to be sheltered from the condemning wrath of God and from all of the trials and afflictions and persecution, the heartache and sorrow of this world. Now, O Lord, all of the evil from it has been removed, so it is now for our sanctification as we are under the shadow of Jesus Christ. But, O Lord, we continue to pray that that would not be the end, but that that would be the beginning, which leads, Lord, to that end of communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ, to be conformed to His image, to enjoy Him as He enjoys us, to love Him as He first loved us. O Lord, help us to realize communion with Thee, eating of that fruit daily, is not optional. It is something that we who claim to be under the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ must be doing. We must be enjoying Jesus Christ through His Word, through the sacraments, through prayer. We must be enjoying Christ daily. Our Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy Word, which is truth. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank Thee, our Lord, that we have found, by Thy grace and Thy mercy alone, by Thy love for us from everlasting to everlasting, we have found that place of safety and refuge from the scorching heat of Thy wrath under the shadow of the Almighty. We pray, Lord, hear our petitions and our thanksgiving now. In Jesus' name, amen.